Heavenly Father, we have heard the word of victory today, that Christ is risen. Your Son, our Savior, has conquered the grave, has conquered death itself, and then is alive. And Father, may we hear this word with expectant ears, with receptive hearts. And Father, may it not just be something we acknowledge with our brains, in our minds, but Father, may it truly get into our hearts and hands and feet, and that Father would give us a whole new perspective on life and a whole new way that you want us to live life by faith in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Perhaps you're sitting there this morning wondering what all these joyful shouts of "He is risen" are all about. Or perhaps you've been moved by the thrilling news that Jesus indeed conquered death. But then, you know, along comes Monday morning. Tomorrow morning, when you face the unrelenting reality of everyday life, is it going to make a difference? Is it going to change our life in any way? What happens when we have to face the problems and the pain and the uncertainties and even what may seem the pointlessness of life? What are we going to do when we have to face the problems of Monday? Is it going to make any difference? You know, the resurrection and Easter is not about the passing of winter and the beginning of spring. It's not about bunnies and eggs and chickens. It has some relationship to the life that's bursting forth in the springtime. And it is about the new beginnings and the new possibilities that God creates for us. Because, in fact, Jesus is alive and he is risen. We can have a whole new take on life because of this great news that we hear today. And it does make a difference in the unrelenting reality of life come Monday morning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ creates a brand new beginning to anyone and everyone who will receive its good news by discovering what it means to place your trust and confidence in what Jesus promises. And he's given us that assurance by being raised from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ creates these new possibilities in our lives by removing the impossibilities. Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, "With God, all things are possible." With God, all things are possible. Today, I want to transport you back to that first resurrection morning. It was a morning that began with grief and doubts and fears and questions. The passage that was read today left us kind of hanging. And the women didn't tell anybody because they were so astonished and afraid. They weren't even quite sure what this good news meant for them. And I hope that we'll discover, as they would soon discover, what it really means for us. But maybe you've experienced some of the grief and some of the doubts and some of the disappointment that these women felt as they made their way in the darkness or the early morning light to the tomb. Now, maybe you've experienced some great grief or loss or disappointment, and maybe even a disappointment with God himself. Maybe you feel he's let you down. They were disappointed. Their Lord and Master, although they thought he was going to bring in this glorious kingdom of God, they had not a concept that he was going to die on that cross. And they were disappointed. They were in despair. Let's go back to, roll the pages back just a little bit to Friday evening. In Mark chapter 15, verse 42, we read, "And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the Jewish council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, saw where he was laid. And then Mark 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" With anxiety, they ask one another, and I can just sense the tone of desperation, "Who's going to roll the stone away?" They left early. None of the men were up, I guess, and they weren't daring to go out. They were behind locked doors. So they're on their way, and they realized the Friday before that they had seen that huge stone rolled in front of that tomb. And they felt that this was an impossibility. Who's going to roll the stone away? The huge stone was far too heavy for the woman to move, and it created a barrier between them and their objective of paying their final respects by anointing with fragrant spices their beloved teacher and Lord, which is all part of the Jewish custom and the burial customs and the customs of mourning. How are they going to do this? And perhaps in doing so, they would gain some closure, some relief from the unrelenting pain they were feeling. But more than a physical barrier, that stone was a picture of all the impossibilities they faced. What would happen now without Jesus? Where would they go? What should they do? And every question was filled with a sense of hopelessness and despair. Who will roll the stone away? It was not just a physical barrier, but it was all the emotion that they felt in that day of the impossibilities that they faced. And maybe that's true for you. Their grief, their fear, their guilt were buried there with Jesus. And it was under the weight of a stone far too large and too heavy for them to even contemplate. Who will lift this burden? Mary Magdalene, Mary and Salome, and you and me. Well, none of us are strangers to this burden of grief and fear and guilt. Their story is our story. It's a human story. It's one we can place ourselves in because we all face those impossibilities. We all face those barriers in life. We all push up against stones too heavy for us to move. Perhaps like the women in Mark's gospel, your stone is literally a gravestone. The unbearable grief of a loved one lost to death. Maybe your stone takes the form of fear. Fear of the future. Fear of uncertainty or dependency or limitations. Fear of things that we just can't control. Many of us are weighed down by the stones of physical or even mental illnesses, diseases. Those affect many people. Many of us are weighed down by stones of addiction, cravings that trap and confine us in a bondage, and we just can't seem to get out of them. Whether it's alcohol or drugs, pornography, whether it's prescription painkillers, cigarettes or anything else that just trap us into this addiction, and it's a huge stone and we just can't move it out of the way. All of us carry the burden of guilt for personal wrongs, Things that we've done, things that we left undone. There's stones of past failures, things that you don't think God can forgive, and even if God would forgive, can you forgive yourself? Or maybe there's somebody else that just isn't going to forgive you. You live in shame of the past. We've all done things we wish we hadn't done, and we've all said things we wish we hadn't said, and thought things we wish we hadn't thought. We've all had regrets, and we all have guilt. That's a stone that blocks the good news. The stones of our present inadequacies, well, our feeling of powerlessness to change our situation, powerlessness to break a bad habit, to save a relationship, perhaps to get out of the crushing debt we're in, just powerless in so many areas of life, we just feel like we're overwhelmed. Stones of present inadequacies or stones of future uncertainty. Things that we just not quite sure how this is going to work out. We're afraid. What does the future hold? Our problem, like the women, is that we can't see past the stone. They were focused on what was impossible. And we get focused on what is impossible for us to do. We look at things from our human point of view, and we see the impossibilities of what we can't do in our strength, and we fail to see what God has already done in His strength. What God has already done in His strength. Jesus said, "For all things are possible with God." All things are possible with God. Imagine then the women's surprise when they came to the tomb and they realized that the stone had already been rolled away for them. The greatest fear was already gone. And, well, not maybe not the greatest fear, but one of the impossibilities was just out of the way. And now they could face their real fears and doubts and disappointments. What happened to the body of Jesus? They enter the tomb and discover that the body around which all their grief and all their fear and all their guilt was attached is just gone. It's been raised up. Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. And with that new life, with Him raised from the dead, all of a sudden it floods in my whole life. Now everything's different. The first accounts of Easter aren't accounts of great faith. And if you don't have great faith this morning, don't worry, you're not alone. Those first disciples had a lot of doubts, even after they heard the good news. In fact, it wasn't until they met Jesus that it all fell into place and they began to really live. So we must look past the stone and hear the angel's message. He is risen. He is not here. He's going ahead of you. He is going to see you again, and He did. He's going to meet you, and He did. And He does. And He meets us even today. It is God who gives us this beautiful news that there is new life and hope that await us in Christ, our risen Savior. He is not dead. He is alive. And Jesus said, "Because I live, you too will live." Not just breathe and continue on in a physical existence, but really live. "I came," Jesus said, "that you might have life and have it to the full." This is our hope. This is what God does by not just rolling the stone away. That's the easy part. And sometimes the impossibilities that we face, we get so fixated on that and we fail to see all that God is doing, all that God has already done. Get that stone out of the way so we can hear the good news. Jesus is alive and He wants to live in us. He wants to give us that resurrection life. So what do? Where do we go with this? The stone was rolled away precisely because Jesus rose from the dead. And stones and tombs and death itself can't hold Him back. And that's the good news. That God has won the victory. And we can be part of that victory in Jesus Christ. Our lives can be victorious no matter what we're going through. And so the past is forgiven. There's forgiveness for the past. In Luke 24, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, told his disciples, this is what was written. This is what the Old Testament said. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning here at Jerusalem, and you're witnesses of this. Jesus had to die. Jesus rose from the dead, and repentance, that is turning away from our old life, turning to a new life in Jesus Christ, repentance, it literally means just turn around, and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed. There's forgiveness for our past. Whatever we've done, it's been covered by the cross of Jesus Christ. And we have the assurance because Jesus rose from the dead. It is done. The past is forgiven. But there's also power for the present. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul prayed for the church there in Ephesus. He says, I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us by his resurrection life living in us. By faith in Jesus, he gives us power to meet those impossibilities of each day. He gives us power to face the sufferings and face the uncertainties and face the pain that we still experience here on this earth. And even though God rolls the stones away, it doesn't mean that all our life is going to be just easy, but we have his power. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. And so my present is given new potential. There are new possibilities because God's mercies are new every morning. What you need is a power greater than yourself. You were never meant to live this life under your own power. God wants to have this relationship with us, and it's him working in us to face whatever impossible circumstances we might face. Finally, there's hope for the future. There's hope for the future. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. We've got a secure hope for the future, for the ultimate future, and for whatever we face while we're still on this earth. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So through Christ's resurrection, our past has been forgiven. We've got forgiveness. Through Christ's resurrection, we have power to live this life right now in the present. And through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope for the future. Those are three things we can just hold on to. We need to see the story of these women as our story. The story of those first disciples is our story. And it ends with incredible good news. And it ends with an incredibly new life. Let me just kind of summarize that all together as the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul made this his ambition. He made this his goal. He said in Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. I want to know him. And the power of his resurrection. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Oh, hold on there. I like the power and the resurrection part, but the sharing in his sufferings? Yeah. The fact is we're still going to go through suffering. It doesn't take that away, but it gives us a new dimension in that it's through Christ's sufferings, and Paul suffered a lot. But I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, that word is made complete or reached the goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. So brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet having taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. The past is forgiven. looking forward, straining forward to what lies ahead. There's power here in the present. I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. And lest we think this is straining ahead with our power and our good works, Paul has already eliminated that and saying, no, it's not by our power at all. It's all because of Jesus. It's his power working in us to press on, to keep pursuing Jesus Christ in everything we're doing because he's alive, he is risen. The stone has been rolled away because Jesus is alive. The stone has been rolled away because Jesus is alive. And he wants you to experience that forgiveness and power and hope right now. Are you ready for this? Christ is risen. And I pray that the risen Lord Jesus Christ would meet you even today and every day, forgiving constantly our sins, for we sin every day, giving us power to live by his strength, not our own, and opening up to us a whole new future and an eternity with him forever by faith in Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this good news we've heard today. And Lord, help it to be for each one of us good news. For we've all sinned and fallen short. We've all faltered and failed. We all have had doubts. We've all been caught in cycles of addictive and hurtful and harmful habits. Lord, we're all human. But Lord, you want to meet us here in our very real struggles of life. Rolling back the stones so that again, daily, we can hear this good news that you are alive and that that same resurrection power is available to us and that you give us a hope for a future. And as we go into what is often an uncertain future, we know the certainty that you are going to be with us and the certainty that one day, by faith in Jesus, we'll be with you in heaven. And so, Father, help us to live for you each day, even as you live in us by faith. In Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.